Thank you, Steve. It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder. And we are here on WGN Radio. And we have our WGN Radio psychologist, which we need on this show, Bill, I got to tell you.
Mm-hmm.
Dr. John Duffy is with us. How are you?
I'm great. How are you guys?
Fantastic. Can I just very briefly say, yesterday I walked into 7-Eleven to purchase garbage stickers. And I said, how's it going? And the person behind the counter went, fantastic. And all of a sudden, that just, I go, really? Awesome. And then I was in a better mood. So from now on, I'm going to, even if anything's wrong, I'm great.
Oh. It makes a difference,
doesn't
right?
It
makes a little bit of a difference,
How about these businesses that when they pick up the phone, like say you call them and they say, it's a beautiful day at WGN Radio. Do you buy into that?
Who do you call?
No, I do not.
Just places that are happy. No place upsetting. But yeah, it seems a little forced, doesn't
it? I think you can overdo it. There is a grocery store in our neighborhood, Wendy, I think you'll recognize this pretty quickly, where everybody in the checkout line is super upbeat about every single item that you have passing through.
Yeah.
And at some point, it feels a little disingenuous, and you're kind of like, you know what? I just kind of want to get through here. And
let's get in, get out.
If something's really great, let me know, but it's, it kind of jumps the shark right. when everything's great.
Right. Lima beans? Whoa! You're going to have a great time with your lima beans.
But this was just a simple, how's it going? Fantastic.
Oh.
There's a worse way to go about it, right? That's pretty great.
Yeah.
Sets
absolutely.
A tone.
You wanted to talk about a kind of coaching that I'm not familiar with. Wendy, I can't speak for you, but I didn't know such a thing existed. Explain.
About 2 weeks ago in my office, there was a 14-year-old boy. I did not know him well, but he said, hey, if you can, and kids do this all the time, they want me to work their parents a little bit. And he said, if you can, I'd love to have a Fortnite coach. And for those of you who don't know what Fortnite is, it's this video game. There's about 125 million kids playing this game.
It's an interactive video game.
It is, yeah. And so he wanted his parents to hire him a coach to excel at this game and get better at this game. And at the time I thought, well, I don't think there's such a thing. And if there is, there were Halo coaches back when they came out about 20, 25 years ago for elite players who looked like they were going to get sponsored and actually make some money doing these games, which there's a very small subset of people who do this kind of thing who actually make some money. But this kid just wanted to get better. He hadn't won yet, and it's a game where the turnover is fast. It's not a game that takes months to play. It takes, you know, under an hour to play. So if you've never won and you've been playing for hours and hours, it's discouraging. And so parents are starting to hire. There was a story in the Wall Street Journal this morning. Are starting to hire Fortnite coaches for their kids, mostly their sons.
All right. I just have to say one thing. I think my kids play it. They have other games that they like better, but every kid plays it, and sometimes it doesn't seem cool, so they say they don't.
Right.
But I would, if they want to play, that's fine. I probably should prohibit some of the game time they play. I guess I don't really care, especially during the summer, but I'm certainly not paying for a coach for them.
Well, and I think that the idea behind it is my kid has no wins. He or she is not an athlete, not a musician, not a an actor or an actress. So this
or
is
a chef.
Or a chef, right? So I'm going to build their self-esteem and self-worth by, you know, falsely creating this acumen for Fortnite.
The falsely creating is the problem, though, don't you think?
I do. Well, I think there's a couple of problems. Definitely that is one of them. That, you know, this is where we're having our kids build their self-worth when there are other far more productive ways of doing so. And the video game culture itself, in moderation, is fine. It's kind of like watching Netflix or something like that.
Yeah.
In the extreme, it can be depressing and anxiety provoking and, you know, cause attention problems and worse, you know.
But all right, so now put yourself in the mind of the parent who has to explain that to a child. It almost seems distancing. It's almost like a kid saying, well, you don't understand. That's what goes on in the world today. I know you didn't have it, but our generation does have it. How do you handle that as a parent?
That's definitely the point the article's trying to make, and the point this kid was trying to make to me is, like, you know, my parents don't understand how important this is to me. And the truth of the matter is, when you sit one-on-one with a 14 or 15-year-old boy, a lot of their self-worth comes from the ability to play this game and play it well. A lot of their social connection comes from talking to people while they are playing this game. So one thing we miss is we think this is a one-dimensional thing. They're sitting in the basement. They may as well be watching TV. The tricky part is kids actually are gaining a skill and they are connecting with their friends. It's just a different way than what we are used to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I've brought this up before. You know, when I was in junior high and high school, I couldn't wait to the weekends because I wanted to go out. Whoever was having a party, I was out. I did not want to be home. I might have partaken in things that I shouldn't have at my age. My kids have not been big on going out. I have friends whose kids stay in and play games. There's a little bit of a benefit because I think there is less teen drinking and sex than when I was younger.
There's no doubt about that. And connecting socially means something different now that there is the internet and there are these video games. So where we might have wanted to go out, you know, two or three or four times a week, there are a lot of kids, especially who have maybe a little bit of social anxiety, who are perfectly happy being at home more of the time. And this creates a little bit of anxiety in parents.
Yeah.
But sometimes I think like, these kids are kind of finding their way and this is a level that works for them.
Mm-hmm.
So there's not necessarily a need to disrupt that.
Unless they're like 35. Then maybe you say, you know what? Time to venture outside a little bit and talk to people face to face.
There's an age where we cross the line,
right,
for sure.
Right.
This plays into a conversation I had with a friend the other day. I said, even though this generation feels the need to constantly be connected, you constantly have to check your phone and your email and everything like that. I said, it's a false connection. I said, you think you're connected, but you're not with people. So my friend said, no, it's just the opposite. This gives kids that have some sort of anxiety about being around other people, it gives them other people, sometimes close by, sometimes far away. But then I said, but what are the long-term ramifications of this? When you do graduate to the next level of being around people, you won't know what to do because they're real people in front of you instead of emoticons on a phone.
Right. No, you're bringing up a really important point. We need to thread the needle between actual human contact, direct one-on-one, so that you are able to handle not just a job interview, but a date, just talking to people your own age, right? One-on-one, face-to-face, because I think we'd all agree there's a richness to that connection that is lost when you're connecting virtually, right? I don't want to take anything away from the idea that there is some degree of connection virtually. Like that is a way that people keep in touch with their friends. For those of us who have college age kids, that's a way for parents to keep in touch with their kids, for kids to keep in touch with their parents. There's a lot of good affiliated with that more contact, but there is a quality differential. And I think you're pointing out, making a good point that we have to train our kids in both. We can't ignore the fact that a lot of the time they're going to text and whatever comes after that, you know, right now they're on Snapchat and, you know, we can't even get access to that, but that's how a lot of kids are communicating with one another.
Yeah.
And we have to accept that. They didn't create that. They're just following the herd in a lot of ways. But also we want to encourage at least some face-to-face, one-on-one contact.
Yeah.
I was truly encouraged when we went to California and did Disneyland and the beach one day. My kids actually put the phone down for entire days at a time. I couldn't believe it,
nice
but that was
see.
Kind of encouraging to me.
Yeah.
So then I don't care about it. If you're home, I mean, come on, sometimes you're waiting in a restaurant and, you know, I'm guilty of it sometimes too. I check Facebook while you're killing time, but we were able to do things and communicate with one another, so there's hope out there.
Yeah.
That's all I have to say.
In the end, John, did you serve as an intermediary and talk to this kid's parents about getting a coach, or did you reject that?
I did not at the time, but given this article, I may talk to them, not about getting a coach. I think that there's something a little bit silly about the idea in that, you know, I don't know if you're really gaining a skill. And I do think Fortnite is a skill that kids develop.
Yeah.
But I think they develop it by exposure and learning different techniques. And some of them find their own ways of learning. Some of them will watch YouTube videos of people playing Fortnite. So they learn the tricks of doing this. I think we're taking it a little too seriously if we're we're hiring a coach to do this kind of thing.
I think so too.
Real quickly before we take a break, somebody has texted, what about the toddlers walking around playing games on their mom or dad's cell phone? Do you think that's okay too? I'm just curious.
Yeah, it's a great question. And it's another one of those things where it's not a yes or no question. It's a moderation question, right? You know, it's kind of like, you know, most of us put our kids in front of Teletubbies or, you know, or Blue's Clues or something when they were kids. So you're putting your child conveniently in front of a screen for a little while a day. If it's 6 hours a day, I have a problem with it.
But if you're at the airport, which I saw a lot of parents doing this, it was excellent. The kid was happy. The parents were happy. All in all, it was a benefit.
Saves a lot of grief, right? Yeah.
How about that?
Absolutely.
Dr. John Duffy is our guest. If you want to chime in, 312-981-7200. You can call us there or text us there. More after this. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. It's Bill Leff and it's Wendy Snyder. Our guest is Dr. John Duffy, author of The Available Parent. Texts have been coming in at 312-981-7200. Read away, Wendy. What do they say?
All right. We were talking about a Fortnite coach and that it may not be a good idea. A coach for that game is a great idea, says 847. It's no different than hiring a tutor to help a student academically.
I get the thought. I really do. I honestly
aren't
do.
Aren't they two different things?
But they are two different things. So when we hire an ACT tutor or a math tutor, we are hiring something for our kids that is going to that's progressive, right? So it's going to get them someplace in their life in the future that is objective where they need to go,
sure,
right?
Of course.
And Fortnite in the vast majority of cases is not going to do that. And I'll repeat that there are some downsides to playing video games in excess, right? Mm-hmm. You know, like, and I don't want to ignore the fact that there are profound psychological downsides to playing more than about 2 hours a day. So I would argue that that there is a qualitative difference between the two.
Is that about the line is about 2 hours a day? Should you start to worry about a kid who's playing a game so deep that it's going more than 2 hours a day?
I'm over 2 hours a day.
Are you?
Like between watching television or binge watching something, maybe a little Candy Crush, maybe a little Word Crossy. I'm over 2 hours a day.
The truth is, if we are all honest about it, the vast majority of us are looking at screens of one kind or another more than 2 hours a day. And yet, yes, Bill, the answer, really, really great research suggests that after about 2 hours a day, you are more likely to be anxious, you are more likely to be depressed, you're more likely to have attention issues, and you're more likely to have suicidal ideation.
Because of just the fact that you're
escaping.
Planted.
Yeah, you're escaping, you're isolated to some extent. Yeah,
and then when you come back, your problems are still there.
Right. And it's agitating. I mean, if we can picture like just sitting watching TV, playing Candy Crush even, after a little while, even if we feel inclined to keep playing, wouldn't you say like, oh, yeah, it's kind of agitating. Like, I wish I could just put this stupid thing down.
When I can't get past a level, too, it's like, God, I've been on this level for a month.
Right.
It does kind of
gets to you.
Irk you a little
bit.
Something else, whatever happened to no, the parent needs to be in control. We can all live without constant contact. We were talking about maybe giving a toddler a screen for...
Yeah.
Come on, in the doctor's office, I've seen people do it. It works wonders. It's 5-10 minutes, you know?
And part of it is just making parenting easier with the tools that are available to you. And the fallacy in the question, I get the question, but the fallacy there is that we never, ever say no to kids these days. But parents say no to kids all the time in a lot of different ways. They're just not saying it constantly, so it's not white noise. When they say no, I think kids recognize that their parents mean it.
But haven't you heard conversations, overheard conversations, where you say to yourself, boy, this would have played out differently when I was a kid, where a kid is trying to sell their parent on some crazy idea, and the parent is trying to reason with them and find reasons to compromise and stuff, and you go, boy, a generation ago, the parent would have said, did I just say no? It's over.
Right.
But it's good for them to push back a little. I do that. If somebody says no, oh, well, come on, here's why. But you ultimately have to take no for an answer.
Right. You ultimately do. But I like it when a kid pushes back a little bit. It's a different generation now than our generation. We were, I can, speaking for myself, I was motivated a little bit by fear that wait till your father gets home. That played on me. You know, sure. I was like, okay, I'll be good.
Yeah.
But I don't know if that's the best motivator for kids. I think it's almost better. These kids are really discerning. They have a lot more information available to them than we did at
right.
earlier ages.
And attorneys.
And attorneys. Right. They've got attorneys. They've
tell
got
Mr.
papers
Cohen
drawn
what you
up.
Think. Yeah. He'll take care of it.
Yeah. But right. my mom would say stuff like, can I go sleep over at Sue's house? No. Why? Because I said so. That's not an answer. And my kids will push back. If I say no, they'll say, all right, could you just tell me why?
Right.
And I like that. It creates a conversation. And there might be a time where I'm like, okay, maybe I do see your side. Okay. But typically, if I say no, I stick with the no.
And I like the idea of that collaboration. Hey, we'll talk it out. The no is still a no, but we'll talk it out. I'll explain myself to you a little bit, just yeah. so you know, in respect to your intelligence and tenacity.
Right. Yeah. Absolutely. We don't have a whole lot of time to get into this now, and I'm hoping yeah. when we see you again in 2 weeks, we'll explore this a little bit further. But mentally, what should parents be doing? There's about a month left in summer vacation,
right.
give or take a couple of days or a week. All right, so what should be going on right now with parents and kids where they're getting them ready, saying, you still have some summertime to enjoy, but you got to get your brain ready because you're going to be in school soon.
Right, so for parents, you have to start thinking about like what it's going to look like 3 weeks down the road. So if your kids are staying up until 1 or 2 or 3 in the morning, which plenty of even pretty young kids are, and they have free reign over video games or their phone or television, you want to begin to gently rein that in so that at that very last Sunday night before school starts,
yeah.
you're not just creating all of that all at once, because kids don't respond to that kind of drastic change very well. So the more you make it a gradual shift into the school year,
yeah.
the more smooth it's going to go.
Wean them
all right,
off
hang
the summer.
On, hang on 1 second.
Yes.
I've been told we have to take a brief little break.
Okay.
All right. What were we saying?
John's just saying that with kids going back to school in a month, you don't want to shock their system. You want to kind of wean them off of the summer and maybe get the bedtime back to normal
yeah.
a little bit and get them in the mindset of it's still summer, you're still having fun, but slowly but surely we got to get you back into the scholastic frame of mind. Right.
Right? And more and more parents hire tutors for their kids during the school year.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing I'm finding really helpful that surprises me a little bit is they're starting the tutors a week or two before school starts.
Oh, really?
And that's kind of a nice, easy way to ease them into the school year. So they, first of all, start out a little bit ahead of the academic wave,
yeah.
right? So it's like, okay, you're struggling in math and you have been for a couple of years.
Yeah.
We're going to get that math tutor in here early.
That's a great idea.
And get you started early. And
very
that
strong.
Seems to, kids resist it, but once they actually do it, it tends
it
to work
sense.
Pretty well.
Yeah.
There's a person who really has a bone to pick with me in the way my parenting skills are, because it's like, yeah, Wendy, we knew you give in already. Parenting also works wonders. Don't be lazy. And no, because I said so is an answer. Stand up for yourself. Everything is not a negotiation.
I'm going to stand up for you a little bit, Wendy. You're not saying that no isn't an answer. I think you're saying I'm going to give my children the respect, my guys, the respect of recognizing their point of view, really hearing them out, because they're getting to be closer to adulthood. If they were 5, I'd
right.
feel a little differently
Absolutely.
About that, right? And yet, I'm still going to be the arbiter. I'm going to make that final decision, but I want them to know that they are heard. There's a difference between that and just like saying no, flat out no. That doesn't work very well with this generation. Creates conflict that we don't need. There's other places where we're going to end up in conflict. You don't need it there.
And I feel like it's aligns to communication. If a parent just says no because I said so, I have a feeling that kid's not going to come to you and talk to you openly about something in the future. So we're all in this together. We all love our kids, and we all try our best. Quit judging everybody.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
That said, 30 years ago, that's all it took was a parent going, did I just say no? Because I'm pretty sure I just said no, and that was the end of the conversation, right?
Absolutely. But I like parenting better now, Bill,
yeah,
because
yeah.
it is about connecting with your kids and kind of creating this kind of long game, lifelong connection.
That's where it
right?
is. Yeah.
You know, whereas I always picture Thanksgiving dinner 20 years down the road.
Mm-hmm.
So most of us make it to our parents' house, mm-hmm. but a lot of us do it begrudgingly. A lot of us aren't thrilled to do that.
Yeah.
And I think most of us would say, I want my kids 20 years from now to want to come and see me and not think back to their adolescence and think, my parents shut me out every time I had anything to say. Why do I want to go back there? I'm going to get out as soon as dessert's served.
So true. That's Dr. John Duffy. Where can people hear you, John?
Okay. The best place, the clearinghouse for anything about me is drjohnduffy.com. You can hear my podcast on iTunes, Podbean, and Stitcher.
And WGN Plus.
And WGN Plus.
It's Perfect. Called Better.
Yes.
That's the name of the podcast.
Thank
You're
you,
awesome. Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
I got to go text this guy because after all that, I love you, Wendella. Too bad I don't love you back.
Wow, that's it.
We'll take a quick break, and then there's more show. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.